gonna, you guys all sit so far back, so I'm gonna come and be a little bit closer. I know it's germs and stuff going around, so I'll try not to be too close to you, but I'm here. Okay, so that song, the last song that we did, In Christ Alone, that is just one of my all-time favorite songs. You know, I listen to that when I have stuff going on or when I'm at peace in life. And I just encourage you all to take that whole song, really, but especially, you know, the verse, you know, in Christ alone, my hope is found. That, I mean, in Christ alone, all in capital letters. And so I know we got a lot of stuff going on in our world today. And so before I go ahead and start preaching, I just want to pray. Let's just, first of all, just pray for our brothers and sisters that aren't here with us today for whatever reason. And then pray for, you know, peace. Just if there's ever a time for God's peace to sweep over our nation in the world, but especially our nation today, I think it's this very moment. So let's pray for that. Dear Heavenly Father God, we just come before you today. Some may be anxious about what may be happening, God, but I just pray that we can have some common sense, Lord, that we can really feel peace in this time of uneasiness in the world. And I just pray for our brothers and sisters that are not with us this morning, that they may hear your word this morning, God. And I pray for those that have been affected, God, by this virus, that you can have answers for them. And again, just your peace. All this in your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I just, before, I'm going to get there, I promise. Before I start again, I just need to clarify. I think I'm preaching on the second coming of Christ. And as I was preparing this last week and was watching the news and whatnot, I realized that, wow, I picked a little bit of an unfortunate week to preach on the second coming of Christ, that on the end of the world, as some would call it. But hopefully, through the message, we can be encouraged again to try to find peace. And that's, I think this is a God thing. I don't have the word peace written down on my notes at all, but I think that might be the word of our day today. It's just peace, you know. So, yeah. So I know some people may be overreacting. I don't know if we are overreacting, but I know for me, no sports on TV, so it does kind of seem like the end of the world. So I know some people are probably there with me. I mean, that's not a bad thing, though, because I guess I found myself exercising and, you know, doing stuff. So maybe it's not that bad thing. Okay, so as I said, the main focus of the message today is on the second coming of Christ in the end of the age, the end of times, if you will. We'll be focusing mainly on what Dan read, Matthew 24:36-39. But we're going to take a little look through Matthew 24. So if you have your scriptures, you can turn there, but I'm going to be a little all over it today. Somebody say amen when they get there, so I know I can oh, someone got there fast. So I know I can move on, and then we'll get there. So also, I just want to give just a little, I don't know the word I was looking for. Just a note that some of the stuff that I may be talking about was in Jesus' time when he was talking about the destruction of the temple there in Jerusalem, and that did actually happen. So some of this stuff did happen. So I'm not going to get into the meat of that part, but I would encourage you, if you have any questions, you know, to approach me afterwards, and I'll try my best to answer that and just read. While we're not discussing the whole Matthew 24, I think it may be helpful when you have your devotional time to read a little bit of that, if that's okay, if you have that time. So, Matthew 24, Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these?" I'm going to restart. I told some people out there that I would be slow, and I was really fast. So I'm going to read slow for you guys. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these? Do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Okay? So he's talking to his disciples, and this temple, you know, is a place of worship where people go to worship. And he's saying to his disciples, hey, all this beautiful stuff, this magnificent building, we probably spent like millions of dollars on it. Pounds, I think, is the currency they used. It's going to be gone. Okay, so his disciples were like, what? It's going to be gone. So then, what happens? You guys think they had questions for Jesus after that? Yeah, they did. I'll answer that for you. We're going to skip down to 24, verse 9. "They will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Okay, so this again, like I said, he is speaking this, literally saying this to his disciples here. You know, we're going to hear rumors of war. You know, we're going to hear all kinds of different stuff. People are going to just be hating each other, and it's not going to be a good sign. But I need you, Jesus is saying this, I need you to trust me in here, and whoever will trust me through this time, I will have. Okay? So I'm going to read that last one. "But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So that was important, because this gospel, you know, he was encouraging people to cling on to him to tell other people about that. So that happened just before the temple was destroyed. And by the way, if you guys are taking notes, AD 70, so the letter A, the letter D, 70, not, I was bad with dates, and I originally thought like the number 80 and 70, and I found out that that wasn't a date. So AD 70, that is when that happened, roughly. And so, going to fast forward just a little bit again to Matthew 24:30. Actually, I'm going to read 29 as well. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will be this. And they will see, they will not be the Son of Man, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Okay, so the one verse that kind of sticks out to me here is, "And they will, then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So, I don't know about you guys, but when I see Jesus coming, if I see Jesus coming, I would like to say that I wouldn't be mourning that, because that would be, I mean, it might be scary, but I would have hope in Jesus. So, the one thing that I kind of gathered through commentaries I was reading and just my own thoughts is, Why would they be mourning seeing the presence of God? And I think that's because they were not living to the standard that God had called them to. And I'm gonna get really preachy here, but this is the way that I see the world going, and sometimes I think I tend to go that way a little bit too, is I see us going far away from God, right? So I don't want us to mourn the presence of Christ, you know, because what we have here on earth is going to be taken away, but we have hope in Christ, right? At least we should. So that's my one main point. One of my main points there is to have hope in Christ. So how we get to that hope in Christ, let's read a little bit down here. I'm going to read Matthew 24, 36 through 44, roughly. You can try and follow along, but like I said, I might be skipping around a little bit. So, no one knows that day and hour. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, so, again, we're all familiar with the story of Noah, so I don't have to get in too much detail with that, but I'm just going to tell you, you know, people were living their lives. They were living their lives, having fun, having family. And then all of a sudden, floods come and everybody's gone except for Noah's family. So I can only help, again, but think back to that verse, you know, where it says they mourned the presence of God because they weren't ready for Christ to come, I think at least. Because one, they didn't know he was coming, obviously. And two, in that day, you know, people were just living just the way that they wanted to. The way that, you know, the world was telling them to live, with all these fancy things, away from God. And it scares me, you know, especially with all the talk of the end of the world today, because we really don't know when Christ is coming back. And there are so many people that I know, and I know there's so many people that you all know that will not be ready. You know, they probably will be mourning that presence of Christ because it might have been a little too late for them to come to know Christ. So, let's continue reading here. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. The two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake. Also, I mean, literally stay awake. I hope I'm not boring you guys to sleep. That was a joke. You can laugh now. Thank you. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Okay, so I'm just going to warn you, this is my main point here, and it's going to sound a little cheesy but powerful, but I am a youth pastor, so you should expect cheesiness from me. Anyway, let's just imagine, Wayne, that you have this big old house. Sorry, you were just the first person I looked at. You have this big old house with all kinds of money and valuable things in your house, and I am a robber, okay? Remember I said just imagining, I'm not really a robber, okay? But just imagine that, right? And I say, hey, 6:30 tonight, I'm coming to your house, I'm going to steal everything you have. And then what are you going to do after church? Okay. But you're going to be at your house at 6:30, aren't you? You know, even if you don't believe me, you're going to be there. And you might have a gun or something that won't be pleasant to me. Anyway, it doesn't work like that. Thieves do not say, hey, I'm coming to steal your house. So what do we do? Let's have a little bit of crowd participation. So what do we do to prevent our properties and our houses from being broken into? What do we do? Yeah, we do pray. What else? There is a correct answer. We lock. We're getting there. There's a company that we call, right? What company are we calling to? Yeah, I mean, that's one. Alarm systems, right? We're going to have some alarm systems in our house, you know? And this, yes. Dogs, okay. That's an alarm system. You don't have to call a company to get them, I suppose. But anyway, whatever you have, hopefully we have some kind of measure to protect our house, because we do not know when someone may come, when danger may come. So we have an alarm system, right? So I want you to picture that. This is where I said it's going to get a little cheesy, but it's a good point. And you're probably going to write it down in your notebooks and share it on Facebook later. I promise it's a good quote. So just as we buy alarm systems for our house, we need to have an alarm system for our lives, okay? Amen? Okay, just as we have alarm systems for our houses, we need to have alarm systems for our lives. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So, this alarm system in our lives, what I'm talking about is a relationship with Christ. You know, and on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about prayer, and we've been talking about baptism, and we have some kids that are being baptized, but the main point that we've been driving is we could have all this cool stuff, you know, we could be the most successful person ever, but if we don't have a relationship with Christ, if we don't have an alarm system in our life, what's going to happen, you know? So there are so many people out there in our world today that are lacking Christ, you know? And I wonder if maybe would be to blame for that, but I wonder if there's something extra that we can do to help others be prepared for Christ. Because I don't know about you guys, but back to the first couple verses I read, when Christ is coming, or when I encounter Christ, I don't want to mourn that situation. That should be a happy situation, right? So, just as I am encouraging us to have our own relationship with Christ, you know, to come to Christ in our own lives, I want to encourage you guys to encourage others to spread the good news, spread the gospel, because I'm backtracking a little bit. I told you I was going to fly all over the place, but 24:13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. This gospel right here, you guys have it too. It is our job here to share it with other people, you know. And I just, real quick, I just want to say, I've heard people tell me, well, I'm not a minister, so that's not my job. I don't want to hear anyone say that, because just because you're not called to the ministry does not mean that you're called to ministry, because whether we're flying an airplane or working with electricians, you know, there is always, and this is something to remember too, there's always room and there's always time to share the gospel. And I know sometimes I don't make the time to do that as well, but we need to, because the second coming of Christ could be near. We don't know, but we just need to be prepared for that. So, in closing, I'm just gonna have everybody just put your heads down, bow your heads, and I'm going to just pray. And then as I'm praying for you all, I just want you guys to think about, you know, how, where is Christ in your life? And then if you're at a good level with Christ, which I bet a lot of us are, then how can I share that? How can I be obedient to what Christ has called me to do? And then after I pray, we're going to go into a time of communion. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, again, we just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to come to church and be with our church family to learn about who you are and what you want to do in our lives, Lord. And I just pray right now that we can be ready for when you come, that you are the number one priority in our lives, Lord, and in everybody in this community's lives, and hopefully one day everybody in the world's lives, you know, your gospel to be preached all nations, God. And I pray that that becomes a reality. And I just pray that you give us confidence that we need to do that. And all this in your Son's name we pray. Amen.